This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I may be a large person, but I enjoy a microdose. Lumi's got these microdose gummies that deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel the right amount of good. Like, for me, yeah, you've heard me talk about I take macro doses, but throughout the day lately, I've been trying to, you know, be a little more productive, get a little more stuff done, but still don't want a raw dog life. So I pop a couple of these Lumi micro doses. They really do taste and great, and I get a little feeling out of them. I like that. Helps me get in the zone a little bit. And like, you know, can let me focus in like the only like way that THC can let you focus, you know, like, well, maybe it's not exactly what you want to focus on in that moment, but you feel the flow and boom, you get into it. So I haven't tried the nighttime ones. My next ad, I'll try the nighttime ones and let you know how those go. But I've been enjoying popping a couple of Lumis. Everyone's tolerance is different. Like, you could try one or two or three. But if you need more information, obviously the website will have all of that. So, you know, check it out. The flavor is great. That I can tell you. Say, like, as for all the science behind it, you know, it seemed to work for me. So let me know what you think. It's Microdose is available nationwide. So to learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code MIGHTY to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show's in the show notes, but again, that's microdose.com, code MIGHTY, free shipping and 30% off your first order. Get after it. Trust me. Get a little microdose in your life. It helps. It feels good.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one book boy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 299 pounds, probably over 300 now because he just got back from a bachelor party. It's John Gabris. All you got to do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, abortion is healthcare. Thank you. I agree. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly sank host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur, not currently in here, currently hanging out with the wife. But when I went to look at him, I noticed my window to my office was open, my street level window. So I apologize for all this yelling, but also enough about me and my fucking window. How about a window into the heart of my next guest from the Lady to Lady podcast? It's Brandy Posey.
Voila. Oh, my God. For the listener, Gabris makes full eye contact with you for that entire intro. Does not blink the entire time.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm framing out my genitals because they are rabid right now. That's exactly a huge part of it for me.
Man, you know what's funny? I performed at a swingers club in Indianapolis a few weeks ago, and a man came up to me fully naked with a giant erect penis before the show because I was headlining it, and I was looking through my joke notebook outside of the showroom, and he goes, "Not a fan of comedy?" And I went, "That's a much more complicated answer than I think you want to get into in this moment, sir." Yeah. You can go watch the rest of the show and find out. Am I a fan of comedy? Comedy has brought me to this moment in my life. I don't know how I feel about it.
And if I'm a fan, does that kill your erection? Like, is that what?
Exactly. Let's get out of here. Oh, my God. It was ridiculous.
Wait, I think I remember seeing this on social media. You were in a situation where you were doing stand-up at what also was a swingers club?
A swingers club in Indianapolis. I was very much a part of the beginning of several people's evenings. It was really fun.
Do you know that when you get booked at this venue, it's like, and it'll be a swinger party later on in the evening, so the vibes might be interesting.
Yes. Extremely horny. There was a woman getting fingered to the left of me on stage, and a man was getting a blowjob directly in front of me, like three rows back. And that's their space, and that is what I knew. I was signing up for something. I didn't really know what it was. I did not feel unsafe or creepy at any point. There were a lot of signs about laundry all over the place.
Yeah, that's the most important thing is, like, when you see wash your hands at a restaurant, I feel like maybe they double the signs at a swingers club of, like, wash your everything.
They're real wild. Like, my favorite one, let me find it real quick. Okay, and just so you can see it. It's, wait, where is it? It's on a piece of paper, like taped up on a wall. And it says, always change the leopard blanket. Only change big blanket or sheet when wet. Squirters, please use the squirt pad. You know who you are. Just what? Oh, man, I have a college degree. But hey,
yeah, don't forget to get your high and mighty squirt pad. Use promo code Mighty.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fucking awesome. Oh, man, yeah. Of all the like weird venues I performed in, I've never gotten to see a dude getting domed during my set. That seems appealing in a way where it seems cool on paper. And then, like, I'm a little frustrated if I'm performing and someone, and this, performing stand-up, let me be clear now, Laura. I'm a little frustrated if I'm performing comedy and someone seems to be on their phone, no less, like, performing fellatio. That might be like, hey, come on, lady, pay attention, come on.
Well, it's a real moment of being like, I am not going to be more dynamic on stage than several of the things happening in this room, but... We're all here to have a fun time, and I'm just a ringleader for half an hour. That's all I can be. I mean, I got up on the stage and I went, oh, the stage is bouncy. Oh, this is not a performance. This is a performance stage, but it's for knees.
Not for standing.
Yes, I see what's happened here. Okay, got it. And then I made fun of their water bill quite a bit and just had a great time. And I will say, naked guy, once he found out I wasn't into it, walked away immediately, which is better than a lot of men in clothes have been in my life. So
normally a dude asking you, do you like comedy is terrifying enough. Add full frontal male nudity adds a whole nother layer. But then this guy adds a sheen of respectability to what is classically a not respectable interaction.
Absolutely. He was like, all right, cool. We'll have a great night. I was like, all right, thank you. Walked away. I didn't have to clap at him or chase him off like a coyote or anything. It was great. Like,
you know, I sell bottoms in my merch too, pal, if you'd like a Brandy Posey pair of sweats or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just for this venue, I'm also selling boxer shorts if anyone would like it.
I have a bandana that is a merch item of mine that has a bunch of stuff from my act in it. And a woman in Humboldt County sent me a picture of her like turning it into just like a weird lingerie tank top after the show. And I was like, is that picture of my dog on that thing, man? It made me sad. don't show people doing sexual things with their merch. No one wants that.
That's super flattering, though, because like, you know, people are like, how is Brandy set? It's like, she's really funny. Also, I was able to be fully fingered in the crowd without, you know, like I maintained focus. That's the kind of act she brings.
Yeah. I mean, it was a real like if you've ever been in front of like it had the feel of a really rowdy bar show where you're like, I need to be so on my game that if I give them a moment, I will lose.
It's like being teaching elementary school swimming lessons or something.
Exactly.
Like, you cannot lose the leash. Yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, the same rules about leopard blankets apply in both situations, too.
Speaking of leopard print, let's talk a little about the topic at hand. Now, I know you and amongst other people are ska fans. I have a very strong relationship with ska. Against ska is probably the right answer.
Okay.
I'll give you my back, and then we'll get into it more, but I'll just tell you my quick backstory. Listeners may already know. In junior high, which would put me in the early 90s, all of my friends were into punk and ska, and I was not really into that music, and I had like a sort of social revolt to it. And my direct response was to listen to like big beat and electronica. So I was like, I got into Chemical Brothers and Prodigy and Orbital and Aphex Twin and DJ Shadow and all that, when all my friends got into VG, Voodoo Glow Skulls, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, LTJ, RBF, all those. Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. I mean, not all of it is technically ska, but in my head, that all got lumped together in a way. And so this was my group of friends. So I hung out with these guys every weekend, and this shit would be on all the time. And I looked a little like Dickie Barrett. So I got a lot of, because I was like stocky, thick headed, thick bodied, dark hair, didn't have a beard back then. So I had like the fucking moon neck that Dick, and I dressed a little bit like that because I did dress like surf adjacent. I mean, I dressed the same as I do now in 1990, so you can imagine what that looks like a little bit.
yeah, totally. How many plaid suits did you have at the time, though? That's the question with Dickie.
Zero, unfortunately. I didn't go that hard. Formal wear never really made it into my life.
I like that you were friends with the alternative kids who were already doing the alternative to pop music, which was so big at the time, and then you were like, no, I will now take it a step further.
I'll
That's
be
what a contrarian you are in your heart, that you were like, my contrarian friends, no, I will checkmate you, see you one more.
Yeah, I didn't alt all the way around to like third eye blind. I like went deeper into, I also, and now I'm still a fan of like synthy pop and synth music and shit, synth wave, so I could see where that kind of came in. And there was something like, the cool movies and the nerdy topicked movies were using electronica at the time. So I kind of was like caught up in it that way a little bit. But what's your ska? What makes you want to talk ska? What ska? You clearly got a relationship with it.
Okay. Ska kid till I die. Honestly, to this day, still, I went to a ska show like 2 fucking weeks ago. It is like, I think that ska is like a big reason that I am like the comedian, the person that I am now, because like I'm from Maryland originally. So ska shows were kind of, to me, the first live comedy performances I ever saw, because a lot of these bands, they had like shtick, like Less Than Jake had a whole tour where they did a big Price is Right wheel with all their old albums. They would like sing into the Bob Barker microphone and stuff and would be dressed up in suits. Like it was sketch. It was comedy. Like Real Big Fish has a bunch of like bits written into their jokes. Like the lead singer of Real Big Fish cites Steve Martin as an influence to him more than most musicians. And I think that they're just like, a lot of ska musicians are kindred spirits. I was like a marching band kid who loved comedy, and ska is kind of like right in the middle of that Venn diagram. And also, like going to punk shows, they felt too aggressive sometimes, like to go into the pit or anything. But a ska show, it's all about community. So to me, it was just like, you go in, you skank, you get a skank pit that opens up, everyone dances. My favorite person at a ska show is the guy that like, he sees a shoe on the ground, and then he spends the next 20 minutes of that show just holding that shoe in the air because he wants to make sure somebody gets their damn shoe back. And that, it's here's the thing, Gabrus. You don't like ska, but you like Fast and Furious. Like, they're both about family. It's all the same.
Well, see, here's the thing. Much like a lot of stuff in life, I enjoy the vibes around ska impeccably, but I just can't get down to the base, like the base fandom of it is the actual, that's how I know, like, like it's sort of like that moment when you're like, this is maybe, oh, I find men's bodies attractive, but I can't fucking put a dick in my mouth. So it's like, I think I'm, what's it called? Ska curious. Although one of my new favorite bands, this band called The Midnight, they have a sax in there. It's synth and sax. And that's kind of, we're getting a little like closer with every step.
I like this.
I love the fight, like skanking over moshing, much better, much more interesting. The style of it all. Now, Brandy, here's where I throw you for a little bit of a loop. All that being said, I did take in junior year of high school, so that would be 98 or 99. Okay. I took swing dancing lessons and wore a zoot suit to the prom with my senior girlfriend who I'd taken those swing dancing lessons with me. And we got a circle around us, and for whatever the you and me in the bottle make 3-2-9, we did a full fucking routine for everyone to that.
Oh, come on, chain wallet. That's beautiful.
I had a chain wallet, a fucking hat. Listeners of the pod, I may try to find this photo and, emoji out the poor woman's face that went with me, but I'll show you what my fucking insane zoot suit as a 16-year-old boy looked like.
That's amazing. I love that. 98, a primo year for it. I mean, that was like the first concert I ever went to was in 98, and it was Real Big Fish, Zebrahead, and a band called Teen Heroes at the 930 Club in DC, and like swing was having its moment. I mean, I've seen Cherry Pop and Daddies, I've seen Brian Setzer, because that was also like, they were brothers in arms,
right? It was like, even swing was like, for ska kids, like, that's my weird cousin. And ska's like, and I'm already three other people's weird cousins. that is a cousin of a cousin, how weird those guys, like, that's like doing comedy and being like, yeah, we're outcasts, and then I choose improv, and it's like, yeah, even comedians don't like improvisers. It's keep finding nicheification into nicheification till I'm like, oh, don't worry, I'm setting myself up to be bothered.
Yeah, I only do short form, actually.
I've lost the respect of my remaining three peers when I revealed I only do bowling shirt short form. Bowling shirts. There we go. Right back in. Yeah.
Bowling shirts with a flame up the side, with a martini glass, with a Friday. What was it? What was the company? It was something 13.
There we had like Red, a big... Red 26 was one that I remember at the time.
Lucky 13. Lucky 13. That was
Lucky
a big...
13. Yeah. This was like peak, like, oh. And to me, ska always sounded... Like, again, I'm hearing it for the first time as a 13-year-old boy where I'm barely like anything and just the word gay is being used entirely too much in my life. And it just felt like, oh, it's like nerdy band music. And now with hindsight, it's like, if I gotten over that, I bet you I would have been really into the vibes of it all because it is fun. I like the fashion that goes with it. I like the sort of aesthetics of it all are very enjoyable to me. Is it still big now?
Oh yeah, it's actually still there's a whole new fourth wave called New Tone that is a kind of a big thing that's kind of come especially out of the pandemic. It's much more international.
Fourth wave. What
fourth
was
wave is here?
What was
do you
the
know
wave?
About the waves?
Yeah, what was the wave we were referring to, the one that happened in the early 90s?
The 90s is the third wave. So the first wave of ska started in Jamaica, and that is like with your Skatalites and everything. That's like the original, the origins, like the very early, early bands of everybody. And the second wave took place in the UK, and that's where you have the Specials and Madness, and that is kind of when people from Jamaica moved to the UK, and then it became this kind of like rock, reggae mix. Which is also very much about racial unity. And like, that's where so much of like the Black and White Checkers that are like the ska thing, it's actually like a symbol of racial unity. Like that's where it came from, which is
very
cool.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's rad. So whenever you see those, that's people being like, you know, it's either NASCAR, which is the opposite, or. and then the third wave came around in like the early 90s with like your No Doubt, your Big Fish, all the bands we're talking about, which is like that's the wave that I was introduced to when I came up because I'm 39 now. So like 98. Yeah,
exactly.
That's third wave. And that's kind of I have a theory that 9/11 killed the third wave. But that is just a personal theory of mine.
I contend to agree. I feel like the only survivor of ska from 9/11, and it's not exactly ska, but 9/11 happened, ska died, and the only thing that rose from the ashes was Guy Fieri.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He just like from a pile of burned DVDs, he just like arose.
He's not necessarily ska, but he carries a ska energy with him into the world of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Absolutely. Well, and I do think that like ska energy is as important as ska music, because I do think there are certain things that are ska that aren't necessarily just the music. Like I do consider like Fast a ska franchise to me. Like it's very fun.
And it's a little bit, ska always to me had like a little bit of like a 50s throwback around it of just like, because of the hairstyles and the suits and it felt like, and a lot of it was like, you know, and it had like a little bit of like ragtimey. And so, I always like imagine, and so that makes sense to me is that to continue that mapping like that. It's got like a classic sense to it, even though when it was popping off in the 90s, it felt old timey in the 90s in a sort of designed way, in a way that I didn't dislike.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was just like, it's pure joy to be in a ska pit live. I mean, I remember the first time, like that first concert I ever went to, I remember them like, I'd never heard a band sound check before. And I felt like when they were like sound checking the bass drum for the headlining band, Ruby Fish, it was so loud that I was like, oh, my heart just came online. It's what it felt like. I was like, oh shit, this is going to be so much fun. And then it was just like a room full of people that just dancing, screaming lyrics. It's that like humanity coming together in like a weird kind of, you know, mind meld of just like fucking silly joy that I wish that we could emulate in comedy more. I wish, but every time I'm at a comedy show, I'm trying to get to that place is like what I'm trying to do for the audience. You know what I mean?
Finally, bring a little ska energy to the mic night. Let's do it. Fuck.
I used to so it's funny. I used to be really good friends with the lead singer, Ruby Fish, and I used to run an open mic in LA. And every time he was home, he would come to my open mic and he would DJ. between open mic acts, and he would just sit in the front and just like watch with me because he was such a huge comedy fan.
That's so fucking rad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We're talking AG1, Athletic Greens, something I do literally every day because I want better gut health and increased energy. Pills in the morning make me feel a little nauseous. So with AG1, I can get those nutrients popping immediately. And you know what I'm talking about specifically when I talk about that scoop. I'm talking about the scoop that is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boost in energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. I get AG1 delivered every month, so it's been super easy to make it a daily habit. I got single serving tray. I'm packing up to go to a friend's house for an extended weekend. And you know I have a few of my AG1 packs with me, one for each morning. Put that in some ice cold water, smash it down, and you're going to hear me say this countless times. It is good to just get that much water down in the morning. So if you make this part of your routine, you'll get some water down, you'll get your vitamins, 75 of them to be exact, and it's an easy way to take supplements. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. You said there's not a few better places that are more fun than like the ska pit. I will say one thing about ska. It seems as though the people performing it are having a blast. It seems like on the stage, ska seems like a good time. Because I remember when I saw, you know, we talk about ska, we see a ska band perform live, it'd be like, there's already an abundance of people. And this is coming post-grunge, post-like small PNW bands, 3 people, 4 people. You see ska, and it's like, there's 8 guys on stage. And it's like, what do those 3 guys do? It's like, that's the brass. Like, what does that guy do? It's like, he dances? That guy skanks. It's like, wait, he goes on tour with them and just stands on stage and dances? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, wait a minute. Is that cool? And the answer is, yes, it is.
Yeah. That's that man's job. His name is Ben Carr. He is amazing. And the reason that he got that job is because he was homies with all the Boston's, but he was under 21 when they started playing clubs. And they were like, Ben wants to come in. Ben's in the band. And then they were like, he can't play an instrument. So he would just dance on stage for their whole set. So he was allowed to come to their shows.
That's awesome. And I mean, that, you know, like when you're at a show and you're like, is it cool to dance? If one person on stage is dancing, that's a fucking, that brings you alive. Yeah.
It unlocks everybody. I mean, it's the best feeling. Like I remember, like I like other kinds of music too, but
for the listeners, Brandy was giving a thumbs down the whole time and kind of making like a PU face where she pinched her nose.
But like ska's the thing that when I go see it live, it like it raised the bar so much for other kinds of music. Like I'll go to like an indie show or something and I'm like, oh, we're all just standing, we're all too cool to experience joy and collective, you know, harmony. Great, cool everybody. That's fun.
Wait, funny you say this, because I'm not big into house music or clubs or crowded spaces in general, but when people talk about the drop, you know, when the beat drops, that energy, it has the wrong spin on it for me when it comes to that kind of club vibe. But that energy of like everyone's like ready, you ready, you ready, like that shit fucking works. And like even if you don't like house music, or even if you don't like ska, it's easy to get caught up in that moment when it's like, this is built. It's like, oh, sports melodramas aren't for me, but I did cry during this coach's speech. Like, it's just built for some of these things are built to give you a biological human reaction. And like that ska build moment, or the fucking beats about to drop moment, or the fucking huge headbang riff in Bohemian Rhapsody, whatever, it drives you to something.
It's just this like release that you get. And it's interesting because I feel like it's like we, like in our normal everyday lives, it's like we're not allowed to like just have these like emotional valves often. So much of our culture is designed to give us these. And I think especially like growing up as like a young kid who was like smart. I mean, I was like friends with people, but I wasn't like a popular kid, but I was friends with I kind of was like the one that was friends with a little bit of everybody. But then like that going to a thing, I was like depressed because of, you know, I'm a comedian. It always was going to happen. But going to a ska show, it was like fucking dopamine hit like crazy that would get me through to like the next thing. You
right.
know?
Oh, and yeah. then also for the people who were, this is, we're talking a little pre-internet here. And for people like us mm-hmm. going to a ska show, maybe you had two ska friends at your school. I don't want to speak to, but like going to a ska show is when all of a sudden you're like, I'm meeting everyone in the DC, Maryland area that is into ska right now. And then it's like, there's something obviously there's something acute of like, holy shit, I'm around all these people. For me as a young hetero boy, when I would go to these concerts and there would be seen girls, like I'm at a little Ozma show on Long Island and there's girls here with jeans, studded belts and glasses on, and all of a sudden and other dorky guys and funny guys and guys wearing ironic t-shirts and I'm starting to feel like, oh shit, there is other people like me out there, and I am a straight white male so I'm already there's already a lot of people like me, but I understand finding like your subculture and seeing that, and so that's the acute moment of like, oh, there are other people like me, I'm having fun with them. But then there's a sort of like big world building moment or umbrella moment of like, oh man, things I like aren't necessarily weird. I could just like, there are other people. And then I think that's what the main positive of the internet has been, is like, yes, for every fucking Proud Boy that finds their crew and for every domestic terrorist that helps plant on, there are dozens of trans shot putters that finally can hang out together, you know, non-binary snowboarders, like any build the niche and you can find a dozen of people who can help you out with that or fit in that world online. Like that's like a thrilling thing about this world that we're not all truly so alone or not truly so singular in like our, and it's freeing to hear that. And maybe you don't get that in your small Long Island school or your small Maryland school. But then when you go to a ska show and you're like, holy shit, that girl is the Brandy of her high school, I bet. That's the fucking Gabrus from their school for sure. Like, and that feels good. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, and that makes you think that the world is bigger. And then like, as you expand your life, you're like chasing these interesting moments. And so there's like that community, I guess the whole word I'm looking for here is community.
No, but it is true though. And I mean, like for younger kids, like that might not realize how like profound and crazy it was to figure that out pre-internet, because it was like going to shows. Cause I also went to a super preppy high school. Like Abercrombie and Fitch was like a huge fucking deal there. Like the school I went to was like, I'm from a suburb of DC. So like, everyone's parents were spies. Like that just is like, truly, truly. Everyone's parents worked for the Pentagon or the NSA. It was crazy. And so I had so many just like buttoned up, like, you know, preppy kids, which is, you know, fine. That's their thing. But I just, for whatever reason, was never going to be that. And then going to these shows, it was like, oh shit. Okay. You also have the same cherry dress from Hot Topic. Oh my God. Okay, cool. This is awesome. And then like, I went to college in Philly, and for Philly, I mean, truly, like I spent all of my money, went to concerts, because from you think every band would come through Philly on the way to New York. I could get to Baltimore, DC, New York, Connecticut, fucking New Jersey. So my favorite bands would come to town and I'd see them like five nights in a row after classes or whatever, all within 2 hours. And then you would just travel with like kids that you met from other colleges and stuff. And then it's funny now because like I perform at a lot of like punk festivals and stuff now with stand up. And there's like a couple, there's a guy in a band called Cat Bite that's a great ska band that I used to go to shows with in Philly. And like now we like have performed in the same festivals as like people almost 40 years old. And we're skanking together when we're 19. It's just beautiful.
That's so awesome.
It's awesome.
There is like a certain power in that, in finding your like groove. And then you go to college. So like I played D&D in junior high and high school. A little more. Wasn't as mainstream as it is now, which is a crazy phrase to say. But like we couldn't find other people at our school to play. Like there was also a tentativeness to even put yourself out there in that way of like, what if we called it Dunkin' Donuts at school? We weren't that open about it. But then we went to like a comic book shop and these older kids were like, oh, you guys play, we were looking at D&D books. They're like, you play D&D? And we're like, yeah. They're like, we have a game here on Friday nights. If you guys want to come back, we can make some characters. And we went back and we played. And they were, I knew even then at like 14 that these guys were fucking losers and weirdos. I, it was just, but it was still, I didn't enjoy my time with them. They were actually kind of frustratingly into the rules of the game and trying to like bust our balls. How, this is how you know someone, this is over, this is like 28 years ago. A guy said to us, like, oh, we're playing with them. I'm like, oh, I want to buy a sword. He's like, well, what material do you want to be make the sword out of? 14. My friend goes, cast iron. We're like, yeah, I'll take a cast iron sword. And he's like, what about you? I'm like, I would like a bow and arrow. He's like, well, what material do you want? I'm like, balsa wood. And then like later on, the cast iron sword is too heavy to wield for my friend and my balsa wood broke. He's like, shouldn't have made it out of balsa. I'm like, well, what did the guy sell at the fucking store? I'm 14. And I knew, and I got so mad. But the week in between getting invited to do it and going to play, it was like a world had opened for us of like, grown-ups play it, other people play it. Yes, outside of, and I feel like there's something there about almost everything where you're like, just close your eyes and imagine a world that's slightly bigger than your current world is right now. Like, I'm getting absolutely roasted for wearing my checkered Vans and my fucking, and everyone hates me because I have my fucking Voodoo Glow Skull shirt on. And it's like, I'm going to get fucking wedgied at, but just imagine a slightly bigger world that invites in slightly more people and slightly more variation. And you're just outside of Chevy Chase or Belmore or wherever fucking weird small town you're from. And there's something super exciting about that. And going to a show is like one of those examples of where you're like, oh, look at all this. Like my, especially by the time you were going to college, I think you're a couple years younger than me. By the time you're going to college, ska's not that mainstream anymore. It's, there's still, people are still making a living. And that's when you find that it's even more of a powerful niche when it's not main, not currently mainstream. Who's still doing it? That's when you find the real fucking, the real ones.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just really beautiful. And like, yeah, I just, it just has always made me happy. It's also, I think, just like, it helped, it's helped me in comedy in a million different ways because I had such a big community that of like people that I'd been embraced and like loved and like was friends with and just had, was, I knew that people liked me. So remember when I started stand up, because we're just surrounded by people with personality disorders and people are just like assholes to you for the first 6 months. You're like, oh, well, I've got, I have friends. So I'm like, I owe a lot of my self-esteem to ska music.
Oh, hell yeah. You know? Dude, you just touched on something. When I first got put on, when I got first got put on a UCB team and became part of that world, I remember going backstage and thinking that every other comedian was like me, the way like super gregarious, like off my and like I'm like, oh, we're gonna be busting balls back here, and I go back there and it's like, it's a spectrum of how people, and some people are on the real spectrum, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is not okay. And just like you're saying, I'm like, thank God my ego is indestructible, because I would think all these people hate me.
I mean, it's so funny because like I remember, and it also, it's really influenced me just as the way that I want to be as a performer. Because I remember first moving to LA, I hadn't even started doing stand up yet, but I would just go stand in line for shows at the UCB or something. And I would see performers walk up and I'd be like, oh my God, that's them. And but they were stone faced, don't speak to me, like the most unfriendly people walking into the theater. But I was like, but all my favorite bands, they like hang out. After they come out, they hang out, they meet everybody, they're friendly. And it always like was a, this is the way I want to be as a performer. I want to be open. I want to like, I always want to try to make a fan or a listener or anybody feel the way that I felt meeting people that meant something to me. And I'm like thankful that I have had positive experiences with that, because I've had like really negative ones with like comedians I've met and shit and been like, ooh, you're an asshole. I like, you know, I've been a fan of yours for a while. And, okay, bye.
Ouch. Okay, turns out don't meet your heroes or even people you lightly look up to. quick lesson learned. Yeah. Well, that feeling of community, and there's something about especially something that is got a little sort of
people make fun of it a little bit, you know.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of the right word. Like, it's a little like outside of the zeitgeist a little. Mm-hmm. Like
it's a bit punchline-y to like, yeah. Like I can imagine a modern comedy now being like the main character's 48-year-old guy who's trying to get married but loves ska or some shit. It's like, yeah. Some, and everyone's like, ah, that's a fucking,
yeah,
tight reference, dude. But like, if you stick by that, the people who've dealt with the slings and arrows of a dorky hobby, like the D&D heads, the and the people who are on the other side of that have been through the fucking crucible and are fucking into it. Like, you survived it. You survived its popularity. You survived it going away, and you're still a fan. That means the people who are left are fucking true believers in a weird way. Yeah.
And they're people that are like confident in themselves because they're like, no, I know what I like, and I will not be swayed by the popular whatever the hell masses, you know? And also, it's like, I was just talking with a friend of mine earlier. So, like, I'm shooting a comedy special in 2 weeks that's being directed by a friend of mine that is a, I met because he directed a documentary about ska that I'm in. And the only reason he found me is that I did Jackie Cation's podcast and I mentioned ska music and he was a listener. So we've been friends forever, but we're both like, we've always both been very DIY people because we just kind of came up, like all my friends had bands. Like it was just this, like, I didn't know, I've been shocked in comedy, the number of people I've met that have been like, no, you do it for me, and that's just never been a part of my ethos, and it's just so fun because like that was just like what I was raised in, and then people will be like, you get so much stuff done, and I'm like, yeah, I just do it. I've always done it myself. I don't know how to just sit back and wait for somebody to do it for me.
Yeah, well, that's something you learn, like if you come up in this world of like writing and making your own sketch shows and like building all your own props and shit, and then when you get to a certain level and then you're like working on something with someone and they're like, wait, what? And you're like, oh, you haven't done like a lot of the other, you've had like a support team do almost everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's like, you know, being friends with people that like started ska bands in high school and college and shit, it was just like, yeah, we'll figure it out, and like we're not necessarily, if we make a living at it, cool, that's like that the joy of it is the goal. Like if you're already choosing a weird alternative thing, it's like obviously you want to make a good living at it, but like you're
not aiming for wealth if you're starting a ska band, like and if you are, you're gonna hit a very depressing wall at some moment.
I hate to tell you
I mean I feel bad telling comedy friends all the time. I'm like, when they're like, I want to start doing comedy, I'm like, I love that for you. Just be prepared. Like, do you have a service job you like a lot right now?
Like, do you have like a side hustle thing that you do that you can make money doing, ideally remotely?
lock it in and hold on to it forever. You got a 20-hour a week gig helping a painter buy their supplies. Yes. Never get rid of it. Like, keep it forever. No matter how famous you get, like, be fucking Jamie Foxx in Ray. You better hold on to your fucking, because who knows what's going away. I'd kill to still have one bartending shift a week right now. As the fuck
genuinely work. the best advice I can give to young comics is like, I my dad's a CPA. I learned how to be a bookkeeper when I was 10 years old from him, and I'm like low key a freelance bookkeeper with like, I have like 15 or 20 clients that I can just do once a month. It's super easy, but that's like money that is like, regardless, it comes in.
Right.
It takes me like 4 days to do it a month. Super easy. Like, get understanding how QuickBooks works would change your life as like a young performer. Honestly.
Yes. Honestly, having anything like that where you don't have to, you can make a dollar without someone else giving the go ahead, the yes or the no. That's the shit that drives me the most. The most crazy about all this is like the yeses, and you require so many people to agree that you're okay enough to make a little bit of money. And then when you start doing a podcast and make a little money on your own, and then you're like, I'm not waiting to hear back from anyone. I'm not like, I hope they ask me to do this show where I get paid $80. Like, you're just like, and so if it's bookkeeping, if it's flipping chairs, making pottery, buying shit at the fucking flea market and painting it and selling it, if it's fucking organizing someone's closet, especially if you're a comedy person, you're living in a major city, you can almost monetize any hobby you have if you push it hard enough. Like, you're like, I'm weirdly good at cracking people's backs. You can probably make a survivor job just cracking celebrities' backs. Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just like get a cape or something and you're good to go. Like, people will come to you. Which you could also wear to a ska show because people would love it.
Yes. Look, there you go. It's a double duty cape. The cape works, baby. The cape is versatile.
We used to have a guy in Philly, and I never learned his real name, but we called him Scaldo because he came to every ska show dressed like Where's Waldo. So you would just like catch him at a certain point in the crowd.
There's like, Scaldo.
Yeah.
That's
it was
awesome.
just a fun bit for everybody. I mean, just like, yeah, this was like my earliest comedy influences was just like silly little things like that, which I loved.
Oh, that's fucking great, because that's not like a guy who's interfering with anyone else's time either. It's not like, oh, dude, we ran into the fucking water balloon prankster at the show. No, it's just a guy who dresses fucking goofy and lets you have a joke on his behest. Fucking dream come. What's like the party scene at Scott? Like, you know, when you go to like a house show, people are, you know, candy flipping, doing this at, you know, punk shows, people are getting wasted. Whatever. Like, what's going on at a ska show? Like, what's guaranteed to be happening? Like,
I mean, a lot of weed, a lot of booze. I mean, I think less. You're standard. I mean, people are less wasted at a ska show than they are at like most like punk shows. But I mean, I think people are. I mean, there's still people getting. I mean, Real Big Fish's biggest hit is a song called Beer. you know, so it's like, yeah, drinking is like definitely a big part of ska culture and stuff too.
Because I'm curious. Like, I'm always curious about like what, like, is everyone like, dude, and then. Oh, it's a ska show, so you know you'll be able to find poppers or, you know, like whatever. Yeah. Like, there's always
some shit going around. I mean, like, it's interesting because there are a lot of ska shows try to be all ages. So that it's a little bit harder to find some stuff because a lot of people, especially now, that's really sweet, is a lot of people have kids that they've now brought up through ska. So there's a whole younger generation of people, especially if you love like the Aquabats, like if you grew up watching Yo Gabba Gabba, like the Aquabats, if you go to an Aquabats live show, they have inflatable like pool toys that they throw out in the audience for kids to do their very first crowd surf in, which is really adorable. So you get 5-year-olds in like little rafts to everyone's just like crowd surfing around the crowd together. It's
Aquabats.
Joy.
Aquabats. I remember being in college. One of the guys in my college comedy group, believe it or not. One of the dudes in the short form and sketch group in college was a big Aquabats fan. And oh, yeah. Dude, also, you just triggered a memory that we, at a Weezer concert at the Pepsi Airlines Arena in Albany, we gave like a non-consensual crowd surf to our dorky friend Matt, who is just kind of like, he was just kind of standing there. We're like, come on, Matt, you should crowd surf. He's like, I don't really want. And we just picked him up and kind of just put him on top. And he just got, we found him like an hour later and he had one shoe on. He's like, someone took my shoe off. And we were like, whoops, sorry.
Well, that reminds me. So this is like a very ska story and like why a big reason I love it so much. So I was a big Warped Tour kid and like ska bands were always at Warped Tour.
Hell
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I remember Warped Tour also, Katy Perry has played Warped Tour, Green Day has played Warped Tour. I saw Katy Perry on the Ernie Ball stage of Warped Tour for 100 people before anybody knew who the fuck she was.
Whoa, that's awesome.
She was like a pop punk person before she, when I Kissed a Girl blew up, then they took her in a pop direction because they were like, oh, there's real money here. But pre that, she was, you know, on the pop punk track, basically, which was interesting.
Oh, that's cool. I had no idea.
Yeah.
If there's if there's music I like less than ska, it's pop punk for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not as big of a fan as that. I mean, ska is my heart.
I feel like pop punk is one of the ones that, you know, ska, a lot of people outgrew, but there a lot of people, a strong handful stayed along. I think pop punk has less of aging fans. Like, I think.
Because ska, there isn't, the singer and Scott, like Scott doesn't have that guy the way that pop punk has that nasally voice, but it's just rough.
That ruined it for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember being at a Warped Tour where Green Day played and me and my friend Beth went and my friend Beth went into, she loved Green Day so much. She'd bought a backpack full of all of Green Day's merch and she went into the pit and it was like a bro pit and it was bad. And she like her backpack got ripped off. We didn't have phones, this is pre-cell phone. I couldn't find her. Like, I just saw her disappear. And it was like, oh, no. And then I found her 3 hours later on the side of the stage at the Boston show. Because what had happened is she ran off out of the Green Day pit, was crying next to a porta potty. Dickie Barrett saw her and was like, what happened? And then she told him. And he was like, well, I can't get you any Green Day merch. But if you want to come, we have water at our merch booth. And he brought over the merch booth. And he gave her one of everything from their merch stuff. He's like, I know it's not Green Day stuff, but here's our stuff. And then he put her on the side of the stage to watch them so she could be safe, but like still have a fun experience. Oh, and then like, yeah. She was like, hi. And I mean, that's like, that's everything to me. That's everything.
MMB fan for life at that point. Yeah.
100% for life. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like Dickie Barrett descending from the masses just to be like, hey, let me help you. Good dude.
That's I had no idea about Katy Perry. I saw, I didn't go to Warped Tour. That my friends went to Warped Tour like all the time, but I went to like Lollapalooza in 95 or 96, and it was Metallica and Wu-Tang and Soundgarden. Yeah. It was a fucking, but Ben Folds was on the side stage. Like, I remember, because like, it's just one small name stuck with me. I'm like, that's a fun name, Ben Folds. And then it was like 2 years later, he was blowing up, and I was like, oh, that's the guy. And then my buddy and I were like, oh, we should have saw him. Then we would have been cool now. And it's like, we wouldn't have fucking remembered anything. And also wouldn't have become fans of his, like, in that show anyways, but doesn't matter.
Totally. Man. But yeah, like I consider like bands that are not ska that I think have ska hearts. I think like Gwar falls into that category. Like Andrew WK, Flogging Molly, these bands I think
Throw one out earlier, and I'll throw it out now. Flaming Lips.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Solely because of the scope of their show. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen the Flaming Lips like 5 or 6 times. Every time, a lot of bodies on stage. One of the last shows I saw them had like, and this was pre the Marvel Cinematic Universe blowing up. They had like a Thor, a Spider-Man, an Iron Man, and I think a topless woman, if I remember. Either a topless woman or a busty woman. I just was the age that's burned into my head forever.
Of course.
a woman was dancing with like a Thor helmet on or whatever. Fucking Wayne Coyne got in one of those Zorbs and went out on the crowd. Everyone in the crowd got laser pointers. There was like all this kind of like gag stuff that was going on around there, which kind of added a nice element to it. So
absolutely.
Gwar is a fucking good call. Also, I always thought it'd be funny to go to a show that isn't a Gwar show, but stand in the crowd in like full Gwar gear. Like, just like I'm just hanging out at the fucking Less Than Jake show with like a fucking giant pig head and semen cannon or something.
Oh my God. There is a guy, I've been to Fest in Gainesville several times, which is the punk ska festival in Gainesville that happens on Halloween weekend every year. And there is a ska furry that shows up in the pit. This guy, full fox in a plaid suit over his furry costume, skanks in the pit the entire time, and you're like, man, that costume has got a reek.
there you go. Remember, you're always like, there's another layer of nerddom inside of it. It's like, I'm into ska, and so is my fursona. And you're like, okay, exactly. Let her rip, cool, brother.
Get out there, man. It's fine.
He calls himself the Skox, S-K-A-X. Okay, throw it up.
Hey, what are you, a professional comic or something? Crazy.
Trying, yeah. More of a fucking jingle writer at this point in my life. Scott, I like the idea of bringing Scott energy. How can we bring Scott energy into our lives, into like on a day-to-day basis? What can, besides, I like the power of positivity that's kind of behind Scott, and and I give them even more credit, Scott, the music I give them ska music even more credit to pierce with positivity in the fucking 90s.
On that. 100%.
Positivity was not the thing back then.
Well, and like I think it's also like it's not even just like it's not toxic positivity, because a lot of lyrics are very like Less Than Jake has so many songs about just like growing up in a small town and like the angst of wanting to get the fuck out and like being on a road. Like Real Big Fish has so many songs about just wanting to feel like you matter in life. It's like there's a lot of like angst in their lyrics too, but with that positive music, it was this just like, oh, these lyrics are like speaking to me, but I'm like dancing with joy while I'm processing these emotions. Yeah, I mean, frankly, everyone should start their day with like 3 or 4 ska songs and like a playlist. Like it will just, it's a cup of coffee for your heart.
Well, in all honesty, if we all started our day with 20 minutes of dancing music, music on shuffle, choose and whatever works for you, if you started every day with 20 minutes of dancing, I bet you there'd be some proven track record of like, A, the physical movement first thing in the morning is going to help get the engine going, the vibes of getting music in your brain early on, like something to think about.
100%.
We talked here. I'll combine everything we've talked about into one offer of advice. Okay. We've talked, find a side hustle. Guys, sign up for Brandy's morning Zoom where she plays a half hour of ska and everyone dances. She ska DJs for everyone. And then you just go about your day from there. There you go. We can even.
I love that.
Emma, we could take this out if Brandy, you want to do that real. Imagine. Shit. That's the kind of shit. It's like, well, I do my friend Brandy's Zoom in the morning. It's weird, but it really helps me every morning. And it's only $10 on Venmo or whatever, you know. Like, you end up, there's the fucking side hustle leading the fucking morning ska formations.
Oh, shit. Morning ska formations. Fuck. Okay. Well, consider, listeners, if you are interested, let me know.
Tweet at her. Yeah. Tweet at Brandy if this is something you're appealed to. I consider myself tweeting at you as well.
Hell yeah. Perfect. I'll totally do that. I love starting my day off with that kind of shit because I'll find myself, I'll listen to too many podcasts and then I'll be like, why am I depressed? And I'm like, oh, because you haven't listened to music, dummy.
Especially if you're anything like me, where all the podcasts you're listening to are about like the slow, unending approach of fascism, or like, you know, I'm constantly listening to like QAA, Chapo, and like all these podcasts where I'm like, I'm getting a little stressed about society. And then you just put on like a beautiful fucking synth song while you drive to the gym and you're like, ooh, yeah, let me get out of.
Let me remind myself.
Just like 2 months ago, I listened to every single of the Hannibal, all the Thomas Harris Hannibal novels. I listened to them all on audiobook and I was like, man, fucking. And it was like raining for like 2 months. And I was like, I'm super depressed. And I was like, oh, I need like, I need to put some positive gas in this tank. All I've put in is fucking snail's tails and puppy dog trails or whatever the fuck the expression is.
No, totally. Yeah. All I'm saying is like, look, if we could just like drop some ska on Ukraine, I think that might help a lot. There's actually, I say that there is a really great Russian ska band that just broke up called Ruska Ska.
Great name.
They're really, really fun, but their whole aesthetic was like Soviet Cold War. They're satiring it completely. But I feel so bad because they did this American tour literally the week after the war in Ukraine started. And I saw them open for Flogging Molly at the Palladium on St. Patrick's Day of last year. And they had put peace signs on all of their mic stands and were waving them around just to be like, we can't go to Russia because we're anti-war. We can't go home.
We're with you guys. We're not those kind of Russians. Relax. Yeah.
I know. I was like walking past their merch table and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. Nobody's buying any of this right now. But their stuff is so fun and they're a complete blast. Ruska Ska. It's just fun to say.
That's a fucking great that's a great name there. Oh man.
Yeah, right?
Brandy, thank you for before we go.
Yeah.
If a listener of this podcast has not really heard of ska or not really what would you give them or what song or band would you say like, you know, you're my manic pixie ska girl right now, and you're gonna put headphones on me and be like, I think you'll like this, you know?
Okay, man. Okay, this is
sorry to put you fully on the spot.
So difficult. So I'm gonna pick. Here's the thing. I also made a ska playlist for Jackie Cation before I did her podcast. So if you guys want my Spotify list, hit me up.
Yes.
The couple new bands that I want to plug more than anything, because I think that like the new generation is also really cool because there's like lots of like queer people, like women front people and like people of color that like it's more diverse than it's ever been now. And that's made the scene so much better. And it's really cool. There's a band called Cat Bite out of Philadelphia that's amazing. There's a band called Kill Lincoln that is out of DC, and they're really great. And then there is We Are the Union, which is fronted by an amazing trans gal out of California, Southern California here. They're all on a label called Bad Time Records, which was started because one of the guys in Kill Lincoln was told by every major label, it's bad time for ska. And he said, okay, well, I'll just go start my own label. And now there's all these bands are on it together and they each promote each other. And there is just this like, they're like all these like leftist ska bands that are just like believe in solidarity and lifting each other up. And they're just a fucking blast. They're out on tour. There's a band called Omnigon out of Berkeley that's really great. That's part of it too. And like all of those bands, make a mix, download all their albums, throw them on a fucking shuffle, have a blast with them. That's the new stuff coming out. And
that's the fourth wave.
Yeah, that's the fourth wave. And they're calling it the new tone, is what they're calling it, which I love.
Is it N-U tone or N-E-W tone?
N-E-W.
Okay, good.
Yeah, there's no umlauts involved. Don't worry.
It's smart. Yeah. That's so rad. And what about yourself? Do you have anything to plug? Enough plugging ska bands. Tell me what Brandy Posey's up to these days.
Well, you can find me every week on Lady to Lady, which is my podcast that I do with Babs Gray and Tess Barker. Gabrus has been on the show before. We have
lovely show.
You're actually in very, very elite company. We don't have a lot of guys on. So when
it's
we
like
do,
me and French Stewart, the last time I checked, yeah, was like when
basically.
I came.
Basically,
I remember that stat distinctly because when I came over and did it, you guys were like, we don't really have a lot of guys on. The last one I think was French Stewart. I'm like, that's very interesting company of the two men that I heard of at the time, me and French. Interesting. Yeah, great show. Yeah. And Babs has been on, and Tess will be on High and Mighty as well. So we're getting we're getting the lady to lady to high to mighty pipeline going here.
Yes, you love to see it. Yeah, and follow me on all the social media shit for when I post on my other dates. If you use Bands in Town, I post my dates on there. I wish more people use that. It's a great way outside of the algorithm to like learn about when your favorite bands and comedians are coming to town.
Rather than just adding them and saying, when are you doing Cincinnati? And you're like, I just left 8 days ago. I can't go back for a while. Yeah.
I just had a guy literally yesterday. I was in Austin all this weekend, and I had a guy yesterday that was like, oh, I missed you in Austin. I was like, I am at your airport.
You got a woman in your mentions. Hey, when can I get fingered at one of your shows? And it's like, are you serious? We just did this.
Come on.
Change the leopard blanket, would you?
You know who you are.
Thank you so much for coming on, Brandy. I appreciate this big time. Always fun to catch up.
Me too.
And if you're in LA and see a show called Picture This, that's running, Brandy hosts that, and that's a fucking good time as well.
Yeah, that's my sweet baby.
That's a fun one to do, and a fun one to watch, and an even more fun one to do. Rarely are shows like that.
Thank you.
As for me, I got the podcast Action Boys and 101 Places to Party Before You Die still on HBO Max, or at least I should say for now still on HBO Max, depending on if Zaslav wants to relieve himself of any tax burdens that our stupid little travel show is causing him. Don't, please, we need 93 more episodes. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!